It's 99.7 DJX. Good morning. Hi, Kelly K.
Hello.
I did see a little news blurb yesterday, and I was like, oh, I wonder if Kelly knows this. But the actress Millie Bobby Brown, who you recognize from Stranger Things, is going to Purdue.
Yes. Now, she's not on campus.
Yep.
From what I understand, she's doing online classes.
Right. All right. The news blurb that I saw at first, I was like, whoa, hang on. She's going to Purdue? But yes, she's taking online classes at Purdue, which, you know, I only bring that up because it's your alma mater. And it's, you know, I guess it's Indiana. It's relatively close in a weird sort of way. But yeah, I thought
we now have something in common. Although I don't think I didn't study the same things she is. She's studying human services. She wants to help young people.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Millie Bobby Brown there, enrolled at Purdue University. So that's.
Now, listen, if she's a comm major, I can help her out. Just say, hey, Millie, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me some assistance.
Give me a call.
That's right.
Your Aunt Kel Kel's here for you.
Yes. Although I don't know how much help I would do. I'm struggling helping out with, like, you know, fifth grade stuff. So
I'm telling you, there is a point in your. You know, as parents, when the stuff, the subject, the material that your kids are learning becomes too great for you to really provide accurate care, accurate help for.
That was second, third, fourth grade.
No, it was about the same for me.
Sometimes kindergarten.
I mean, I remember them coming home and being like, "Hey, what's a rhombus?" I'm like, "I don't know.
Let me look that up."
I'm like, "You guys got Google, don't you?"
After we covered that one.
Oh, my gosh. Day. Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I shapes were obviously something that had been covered in my education. But
yeah, I think that was more advanced, though, for our public school system there in northern Indiana.
Not
in
something.
Day.
Well, but not something that I had even thought about for a couple decades. So,
yep.
Yeah. Anyways, Millie Bobby Brown there. It's. Pretty cool there. It's 99.7 DJX. Hey, this hour, feel goods. We've got you laugh. Or sorry, we've got setting the bar stories on the way, and it just shows you that karma is real with this setting the bar story. So that's going to be kind of fun. That's a little bit later on this hour here. But what are you working on coming up with your feel good?
This is literally kind of a hold my beer. Kind of thing that ended up in this guy doing something that nobody else has ever done. It's pretty amazing.
All right.
Like, this is not a hold my beer that lands you in the setting the bar lane. This is a hold my beer and we're in the feel good.
All right. Here, hold my beer.
Exactly.
Here's something real cool real quick.
Yes.
All right, we'll
be
get to
British
that.
Be here, hold my beer.
And Kelly K gives you feel good stories every single hour throughout the morning. What's going on?
Now, we go to... shine the spotlight on Robert Pope. He's a British ultramarathon runner who downed a pint of Guinness right before setting off on a run that would make him the first person to successfully run the width of Ireland in under 24 hours.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so he just ran west for 23 hours and 39 minutes, ended up at the opposite coast in Dublin.
Dang.
That's a total of 133.5 miles.
Wow.
And what do you do when you complete a run like that? You down another pint of Guinness.
Well, for sure you do.
Yeah. So this whole idea, I guess, was born out of a conversation he had with some fellow runners at an event in Britain. And he was like, I gave myself about a 40% chance of actually pulling it off. He did. And then he looked it up. He's like, I don't think anybody else has done this. He raised like $3,300 for the Worldwide Fund for Nature. And this is far from like his first record. He won the 2015 and 2016 Rock and Roll Marathons in Liverpool, England.
Oh, wow.
Quit his job to retrace the route of Forrest Gump.
Whoa.
Taking him all over the U.S. five times.
I was going to say, that movie, if you haven't seen it, he like runs from Maine to California.
For no particular reason.
That's right.
Yes. And so he raised like over $35,000 for a couple of charities doing that, did it in 422 days, wrote a book about it.
Wow.
And then he took a break to earn the Guinness World Record for the fastest marathon in film character costume, of course, dressed as Gump, as he's doing that run across America.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. So the guy, is pretty accomplished at the running. So if anyone is going to be able to accomplish running across
Ireland
in 24 hours, he could do it.
Dang.
So, yeah. And again, just with like 21 minutes to spare.
Oh, so yeah, he was trying to do it in under 24 hours.
Exactly.
Got it. Got it. Wow.
39 minutes.
All right.
So, pretty amazing.
DJ X.
Man, it stinks when you find out your partner is cheating on you. And, you know, there are so many different ways that you can respond and react and all that stuff. Well, one scorned wife in Australia decided that she was going to publicly humiliate her husband.
Oh, gosh.
For being a, quote, dirty cheater.
Wow. So what'd she do?
Well, she's only identified as Jenny. She took out a full-page ad in the August 12th edition of the Australian paper and
the
wrote...
newspaper? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and wrote, "Dear Steve,
uh-oh,
I hope you're happy with her.
Oh, no.
Now the whole town will know what a filthy cheater you are."
Oh, gosh.
From Jenny.
Oh, boy.
P.S., I bought this ad using your credit card.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
Now, after that ran, the newspaper got flooded with calls from people wanting to know more information. Interest was so intense, editors had to take to Facebook to let the public know that they would not be disclosing any more details about Jenny.
Or Steve.
Or Steve, right?
Or the other woman.
And so Jenny basically created the ad through their online portal. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
So it didn't really get, like, signed off on by anybody?
Well, there's a little bit more anonymity.
Okay. Oh, boy.
But the editors apparently eventually decided to run the ad for free because it was
illegal to bill his account without his consent.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
That's right. Now, whether or not she actually bought the ad using the credit card, you know, remains to be seen.
I bet she did.
But I bet she did. Yeah, exactly. We've tweeted that out, by the way.
I don't doubt that she did.
At Ben and Kelly Show. But I, you know, we will bring this up every now and then on the show, but are there any creative ways that you have kind of gotten back at someone from your past who maybe cheated on you or something like that?
Gosh, that is real public, though. I don't know if many people have gone that big. But this reminds me of, do you remember when local billboards were taken out? It wasn't like a bad thing. It was talking about date night.
It was a Louisville Ballet promotion,
yes,
or something like that.
It was a couple. I forget their names now, but that reminds me of this.
Yeah, the billboards that were posted around like downtown I-64, those areas.
Yeah, Steve is not happy about this, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
He's probably regretting his life choices.
We got a message from a listener. I disappeared completely from their life after it ended. That really seemed to mess with them more than their cheating.
Oh.
They couldn't seem to fathom that somebody they'd spent so long with would just disappear overnight.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if you're going to take action, sometimes you're going to get dramatic results.
Yeah. Another kind of along the same lines, refused to acknowledge a cheating ex. I just erased them out of my life, moved on, and stayed happy.
All right. I think that's probably the best way to go about it. I don't know if anything super amazing comes out of public retaliation.
It probably makes you feel good for those moments of time, for sure.
You could have a little boyfriend bonfire.
Another
ex-husband bonfire in the backyard and move on.
Another message from a listener, very similar, said, wished her the best, deleted everything that had to do with her, and never spoke to her again.
Wow.
Saw her a couple times afterwards, and I said hi, as if nothing happened, and as if she was somebody that I just used to know.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Dang.
Okay.
I mean, that takes some strong ones, too, to just be able to, once your cheating partner comes around, just to be like, all right, I'm absolutely 100% done with you, to compartmentalize that to the point where you can just erase them.
Yeah, that takes a lot. That takes a lot.
Yeah. You can see the ad that Jenny posted in the Australian paper, McKay in Whitsunday Life, I guess is the name of the paper.
Oh, that is an interesting name for a paper. I am really kind of invested, though. Like, I kind of need to find out who Steve and Jenny are.
Well,
I just need Jenny. I need to know that Jenny is going to move on and be happy.
Well, maybe she'll follow up with another ad in another week or so.
We can only hope.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
On the way. We're going to dive into the DMs just after 7 o'clock, where Heather thought she was being cute and friendly with a coworker. But now things have changed, and she regrets. And so we're going to see what her issue is and see if we can help her out coming up here just after 7. Before that, though, karma is real, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Grant is going to prove it to us.
Okay. Sometimes punishment can show up naturally. As if there was divine intervention.
That's exactly right. What I really want. It's Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. I enjoy it when artists pay homage to other things that are happening in pop culture right now. It's recently happened at a Coldplay concert in London. Kelly, you are aware of the jiggle jiggle on TikTok, yeah?
Actually, no.
Oh,
now
well,
I'm going to have to look it up.
Well, no, I'll play it for you.
My money don't jiggle jiggle. It folds. I like to see you wiggle wiggle for sure.
Oh, yeah, right.
Dribble, dribble.
Yeah.
You know, riding in my Fiat, you really have to see it. 6 feet two in a compact. No slack. But luckily, the seats go back. I got a knack to relax.
Yeah, so it's just a funny little rap that has gone viral on TikTok. It's
is
so
there
much,
a dance that goes with it, or is it just the rap?
So much so that Jason Derulo even recorded a longer version of that song. Of course, Jason Derulo did. But getting back to Coldplay, they were Chris Martin was beginning the song Politic there at Wembley Arena, and
money don't jiggle, jiggle. It's the original.
It's the original.
Wanna see you wiggle, wiggle. Sure.
Of course he does a very slow ballad type version of it.
Better than my fear. Really ought to see it. 6 feet two in a compact. No slack.
I enjoy that. All right. It's 99.7 DJX, Ben and Kelly. Coming up next. I mean, they say God acts in mysterious ways, right?
Uh-huh.
And you could say this karma that came to Grant was divine?
Divine intervention, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe the Lord handed down a little punishment before police did.
Well, while police were also...
Sure.
Like, hey, let me just edge in here real quick, too.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna chime in on this one, too.
All right. So, yeah, that's your Setting the Bar story coming up here next. Harry Styles first on 99.7 EJX. All right, Kelly, what's a Setting the Bar story?
An example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they say God works in mysterious ways, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to rob a church.
Oh, wow. Right there. Real bad choice.
You're doing okay.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Grant, 28, he was caught breaking into the Church of Nazarene there in Washington earlier this month. Now, someone saw him walking around inside on a surveillance camera, called the cops. Guy had a flashlight. He seemed to be like looking for audio equipment. Anyways, police arrived, caught Grant, right?
Uh-huh.
Now Grant's doing everything the police are asking him to. He obeyed police once he got caught. But, and this is where the karma comes in, while he was being arrested, a skunk jumped into an open window.
Oh no.
And sprayed him.
That's your divine intervention. Like, you know, God's kind of saying, let me chime in on this one.
Yeah, Grant was taken into custody, charged with second-degree burglary. Now, it's unclear if he was actually given a tomato soup bath in jail.
Ooh.
But more
hope for the sake of everybody else that had to be around him.
Yeah, I was going to say, the police probably had to hold their nose while taking Grant in to the station, but...
Oh, I can't even. Fortunately, I don't think I've... Oh, I should knock on wood. I've never been around anyone or been sprayed by a skunk. But I hear it's real bad.
I have never been sprayed myself, but I have been around a skunk after a skunk has sprayed. And yes, it is pretty epic.
It lives up to the hype?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah.
So, again, a little Setting the Bar, a little... divine intervention, if you will.
Uh-huh.
if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to rob a church, you're doing okay because a skunk will then spray you.
Yep.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
Revenge will rain upon you, literally.
All right, that is setting the bar on 99.70JX. At Ben and Kelly Show, our social media handle, you can always shoot us a DM. We'll read it, and sometimes we can turn it around and see if we can get you some advice.
This one's from Heather. Hi, Ben and Kelly. I think I really screwed up, and I want suggestions on how to fix it, if I can.
You've come to the right place.
So, I have a coworker with whom I had a fairly close office relationship. Over time, I developed a bit of a crush on him. Now, I'm in a relationship. He is single. In a spectacular mistake, I admitted this to him several months ago. After some awkwardness, our friendship seemed to resume as normal. Then in recent months, he noticeably stopped speaking to me. I apologized for mentioning my crush and asked if I did something new to upset him or if my continued presence at work makes him uncomfortable. He dodged both questions.
Yeah.
And now will only speak to me when absolutely necessary to get work done, using the bare minimum number of words. I feel terrible. I don't want to perpetuate an environment where we're both on edge around each other. At the same time, though, I understand his reluctance to talk about it. So how can I address this short of finding a new job? Thanks, and help you can give some advice.
Well, I would say that he probably got into a relationship. He's no longer single.
Yep, that's kind of what it feels like.
That may be the thing where, you know, maybe he was able to kind of get over that initial awkwardness of, oh, you know what, all right, she's crushing a little bit, you know, whatever, we can resume as normal, everything's fine. But then once he started seeing someone, he's like, yeah, this is making me uncomfortable.
Then it was awkward times two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, and the fact is, too, like, she didn't really mention anything about her relationship. Like, she's in a relationship. So has her crush affected the feeling she has for her boyfriend?
Yeah, I mean, she just says she's in a relationship. I have no idea what kind of relationship it is.
Yeah, we don't know whether the status of that.
You know, a long distance, whether it's open relationship, whether it's committed.
She's still together with them? Not sure.
Man, there are a lot of unknowns here, but how do you address that?
Well, it sounds like she already did, though. She's talked to him a couple of times. Like, she apologized initially, and now she apologized again if she made him uncomfortable, and he's dodging the question, so I don't know if she keeps harping on it. She's already put her feelings out there, like, hey, I've noticed you're acting different. Sorry if I've made you uncomfortable. Is there anything I could do? And he's just kind of not participating anymore in that conversation. I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah. Has anyone had this happen to them where someone at your work has admitted a crush on you? And how did you approach it?
Yeah, maybe some HR people need to chime in on this too, because who knows what the human resources policies are.
I mean, do we have to get HR involved in everything?
Well, maybe they might have some helpful advice on how to help employees navigate through this.
Right, right.
I mean,
keep productivity.
I ended up, you know, dating someone I worked with and then ended up marrying her. So.
Right. It was a sandwich shop.
It was.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the food service industry is a little bit loose as it is anyways.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, so I didn't see anything wrong with that. So anyways, I don't know. Heather, she was cool with us saying her name, right?
You know what? She didn't ask, like, please keep me anonymous. Okay, gave us her name, so I think it's fine.
All right.
We didn't shout out where they were.
This is true. Well, yeah, Heather, outside of finding a new job, yeah, I think you just try to plow ahead and almost just do your best to cut him off.
I kind of think that, you know, your relationship status is what it is now. I mean, he's obviously kind of shown you with his behavior that he's not super comfortable with your friendship the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's unfortunate, but I guess you just got to go on business as usual.
All right. Well, hopefully that helped. By the way, if you've got any stories, feel free, 502-571-9970. So Heather had reached out to us, thought she was being cute and friendly with a male coworker of hers when she admitted that she had a crush on him. But
then it got weird.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that could be an entire topic, .. And then it got weird.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're at right now. And she's kind of mentioned it to him, like, hey, you know, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable with, you know, telling you about my feelings and, you know, have I done anything new? Because it was kind of like they went back to normal, but now he's acting weird again. And she's wondering, do I address it? How can I address it again? Because she's obviously just wanting them to go back to having a good rapport at work. And I'm not sure that you can go through it again, because I think he's probably expressing to you that your relationship's now different, and there you go.
Jasmine texted us and said, as soon as I got a divorce, a male coworker confessed that he had a crush on me. I have a very strong rule. I do not date where I work. I thanked him profusely, and we are still friends to this day. I mean, that's good.
Yes, that is good. I mean, that all just depends on if you can put the boundaries out, and then the other one respects the boundaries, and then it should be fine.
Yep. Hey, Stacey.
I was calling about Heather. Something that I thought about when you guys were talking was, I wonder if he started to like her and he realized this, and that's why he all of a sudden stopped talking to her, because he doesn't want to get himself in a situation, one, with HR, and two, because he knows she's in a relationship, so he's trying to stay away from her.
Very good point.
He likes her back. Because guys, you know, Ben, guys are idiots sometimes. They have no clue. And maybe by her mentioning that, and he's actually thought about her in that way.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it really is. He's got another text that maybe he knows she's in a relationship, doesn't want to get in the middle of that.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. All right, well, Heather, good luck as you move forward with that. But I think, again, I kind of go back to the, you know, I would just cool it on your end. And
right.
Yep.
Just kind of go back to doing your thing and, you know, get work done at work, because you have already tried to address it with him.
Yep.
That's all you can do.
All right. Keep us posted.
Territory when a winged
power and Kelly Kay.
So police often respond to some unusual calls. And these Wisconsin police officers kind of showed up to a report of a wild turkey on the loose inside a second floor apartment, and he released the body cam footage of the capture and release process that was pretty comical. And they got to start, you know, by hyping themselves up a little bit and trying to come up with a game plan.
Sure.
They wore protective gloves, but only one of them had a net.
I want the gloves and the net, though, is what I'm saying. Because when I go in there, I want to be able to, like, get it.
It's a turkey, not a tiger.
Yeah, it's going to scratch. Have you hunted turkey before?
Have you hunted turkeys before? It's going to scratch you.
They're kind of wily.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really know what to do afterwards, though. No, I'm just saying, like, once we catch it, I'm saying, like, do we just release it?
It's like, that's what funny. Do we do with this? Like,
right.
Do we take it to a sanctuary where we just put it outside? It could probably fly back in again. I'm not sure.
That's funny.
I know, it's really funny. We'll tweet it out. It's on Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show. It's pretty great. But you know what? Kudos to our police officers who, again, just show up every day for work, report for duty. And you have no idea what you're going to face that day. And sometimes it's wild turkeys.
Yeah, sometimes. There you
sometimes.
Go.
Sometimes.
All right.
At Ben and Kelly Show on Twitter.
Kentucky Anna is getting clowned. Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Blame Neil for this one. Hey there, Ben and Kelly. I'm attaching some info about my wife, who I think would be a great person to call with a phone tap. What do you say?
So, yeah, he did, and we do. So, Robert Hassenpepper just has some natural questions, curiosity about hot tubs.
Okay, and she's the person to answer.
Yeah, thankfully, she works at a place that sells hot tubs.
Fantastic.
Welcome to your phone tap.
Spas and hot tubs. This is Holly.
Hi, Holly. Robert Hassenpepper here. Got some hot tub related questions. I figured this is the place to call.
Well, I'd be happy to help you. Are you looking for a hot tub?
Well, I am, and I'm trying to get some general information, too.
Sure.
Okay. So what sizes do hot tubs come in?
Oh, well, generally, I like to group them by small, medium, and large, depending on how many people can fit in them. Mm-hmm. The small ones fit like 2 to 4 people. Okay. Then it goes all the way up to the big ones that fit 7 to 8 people or even more.
All right. Well, how much liquid would you say is in a small one?
How much water? Oh, you're looking at 200 to 300 gallons for a unit like that. Do you have any idea how many people you want to have in your hot tub?
Well, this is going to sound a little unusual, but I don't want any people in my hot tub.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking to get a hot tub that I can use for cooking.
I'm sorry, what? For cooking?
Right, right. I was staying at a hotel, you see, and sitting in their hot tub, and it's hot and steaming and big, and all I could think of was, man, I could make one hell of a soup in this thing.
You want to make soup in a hot tub? Like 200 or 300 gallons of soup?
That's right. I think it's genius. I love to cook, you see, and I love cooking for large groups. So what if I could use a hot tub to make a huge pot of soup?
That, I don't think you can do that.
Well, listen, I know what you're thinking, that I'm going to get in the soup and stir it with my body, my naked body, but that's not the case. I wouldn't even have to stir it. The jets in the hot tub would move it around.
Wow, so you've really given this some thought.
Oh, yeah, it's all I've thought about since I stayed at that hotel.
Well, I mean, of course, I'd love to sell you a hot tub, but I really don't think this is going to work for you.
Well, what's the problem?
Well, first of all, soup is going to clog up the filters.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The filter is there to strain out the stuff you don't want in your tub. And I most people wouldn't want carrots and stuff floating around in there.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I honestly, I'm sorry. I can't believe I'm having a conversation about this.
No, this is great. Very helpful. Okay. Well, what if I only use the hot tub to cook like broth or a bisque? Or thin soup or something like that.
Sir, I want to be helpful, but I don't know if I'm the right person to talk to. I should get back to work here.
Oh, well, what about this? What if I used it as a washing machine? What about washing clothes? You know, throw in some detergent in your dirty clothes and let the jets move them all around?
No, are you serious?
I'm actually not, Holly. It's actually Ben Davis from the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show. Say hi, Kelly.
Hello.
You're on 99.7 EJX. It's a little thing called phone tap.
Oh, okay. What?
Yeah, Neil wanted us to mess with you, so here we are. Hello.
Oh, my God. Well, you sure did. That was. I didn't know what was happening. Thanks a lot. Oh, wow.
here's where her mind went. Uh-huh. Me naked, stirring soup in a hot tub.
See, she was already forming a mental picture of what she thought you looked like, and then to like a naked dude like swirling around in a hot tub. Yeah, stirring soup. That's
all I was doing.
A nice little bisque.
I can't get it too hot though because it'll burn my bits. While I'm stirring that soup.
Oh my
with my own stir stick.
Oh, I don't think anybody needs to taste your bit soup.
If I was a soup, what would I taste like?
No, chunky potato. No, I don't think that's not what we do.
Chunky potato? Is it because? No. Is it because I'm getting more of a dad bod?
No, you would straight up be tomato, because you know red hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, red you'd hair. Be tomato. You'd be a tomato bisque.
I would think you'd be more of a split pea soup.
Split pea?
Mm-hmm.
What about me says split pea soup to you, sir? I don't think that's a compliment. I'm not sure. I really don't know how any soup could be a compliment.
All right, that's your phone tap.
Okay.
On 997DJX. Well, major milestone happened in my house yesterday.
You moved your two oldest daughters into their college dorm, moving out of your nest. The little birds flying the nest. How'd you do?
Yeah, moved Isabella and Sophia into college. And, you know, I mean, it was, to me, it was very compartmentalized. I was like, all right, we're moving. I'm a mover now. And
right,
so,
and I am moving things, and I am putting things in places.
Right, exactly. Yes. It's like I am taking things out of the house, and I'm putting them in the van, and I am driving the van to the dorm, and I am taking the stuff now out of the van and taking it up to their dorm room. That's what I am doing. I am mover.
Yes. Okay. And you got through that part,
and then
all that stuff is done.
And so, yeah. There was a time once we got everything kind of moved into their dorm room, which was very easy. I mean, I was anticipating it to be a little bit more difficult. Now they're in the honors program, and so they were able to move in a little bit earlier because they have classes that start a little bit earlier than the general population there at U of L. So I think maybe we dodged a little bit of the rush of people moving in. So in and of itself,
helpful.
Yeah, a little bit more helpful, a little bit easier to navigate and everything.
Did you have to build like lofts? I know we had a loft in our dorm room, and this is back in the day. So we had like the bed up on top, and then we kind of could set up a little living room underneath the loft with the little mini fridge and some bean bags and stuff like that. Did you do anything like that?
Well, no, not yet, but they can rent lofts.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
so
smart.
So that is something that they can rent if they want or if they so choose, but they're going to just try to see how it works, you know, with their beds on the ground, you know, right now. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was a very basic dorm room, you know, and it reminded me a lot of a dorm room that I stayed in literally 20 years ago. And
right, they haven't changed too much.
Right, exactly.
Dorm rooms are fancier than others.
You know, cinder block, you know, walls and stuff like that. So it's like, all right, well, you know, not much has changed. They like it though, and they were like, you know, it's authentic. they like the fact that it was
authentic. That's a good word.
I know they
it's
use
college.
Right, right. They were like, it's authentic. It's good. I'm like, all right, well, they're like, yeah, we don't want to feel like we're staying in a hotel room. I'm like, why not?
You know, I mean, be as bougie as we can be.
Right, right, for sure. So there came a time when we had everything moved in, and you know, I asked, I'm like, so do you want us to help you anymore? Like what do you need help with? Do you need help like unpacking stuff or like situating things? And so they're like, no, I mean, I think we've got it from here. And it was like a, okay, well, let's take a selfie.
They're like, you can go now? And they're kind of saying, you can go.
Yeah,
now?
Yeah. It was kind of a, all right. I mean, I think we're just going to, you know.
We're going to get settled.
We're going to get settled, and we're going to get our room looking the way we want it.
And we don't need your help to do that.
And we don't need your help to do that. So it was like, all right,
you found yourselves lingering at that point.
Yeah, it was.
Gently trying to give you the little hint that you're lingering.
I know. My wife and I were just kind of, I mean, it wasn't really awkward. I shouldn't say or make it sound like it was an awkward experience. But yeah, I mean, we were just like kind of there, and it was, we were done.
Parents are trying to prolong it, and they're just like, okay.
All right, we're good. And so I was like, all right, selfie time. And so, you know, we left and, you know, gave them hugs.
How was the walk out, though? Is that the moment when it starts to hit you that you just left your first babies in a new strange room?
Yeah.
And you're walking away, and you're going to go home.
Well, it's funny because on our way out, as we're driving out, we get to a roundabout. You know, there are some roundabouts there on the campus of U of L. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, oh, yeah. My wife's like, oh, you know, I need to call them. And so she calls them, and she's like, goes over the explanation of how to navigate this roundabout. It's like, okay, hey, make sure that you're not in the right lane, because the right lane makes you turn right. You're going to want to go, you know, if you're wanting to get on the freeway, this is what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to make sure that you're in the left lane to go through this roundabout, because if you're in the right lane. Yeah, I know. And so then she hangs up with them, and we've literally been gone 3 minutes. And she's like, I had to tell them that.
Absolutely.
Right, because I didn't know if they've ever navigated a roundabout on their own before.
It is my job as their mother to give them a heads up about roundabouts.
Right, for sure, for sure. And so, you know, it hasn't hit me yet, really, that they're like gone. Because I
but did it last night when you got back to your house and it had less stuff and less people.
Well, they
that's where I think it would
so,
it would hit me.
So they had Irish dance practice.
Oh, so you saw them there?
And they
that's kind of still normal.
And they and you know, they took their you know, their little sister was there. And so they brought her home. And so we saw, and they had dinner at our house. So it was like, all right, well, and then
it
they,
hasn't felt too different just yet.
Right. No, it hasn't really felt too different yet. So, but I would be interested to, find out like who was the oldest when you moved out of your parents' house for good, because I still feel like they're going to be around. And I have that thought of this is the last time they're actually going to live in our house. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
But
I did come back and live at my parents' house after my freshman year of college at Purdue. Worked in a factory, an RV factory. We made parts that go on RVs. Worst job of my life. That is when I decided I'm going to do something different. when I get a, like a different job, like a more of a career job.
Right.
Yeah. But then after that summer, I didn't come back because then I did get a job at a radio station. I was also working at a salon cleaning tanning beds.
Yeah. So you had a summer job and you were making money.
And I worked at the Olive Garden.
Right.
Yeah,
right. So you couldn't go back home because you had a job. Right.
I stayed working. Yeah. And I helped pay for, you know, books and lodging and all sorts of stuff. I was trying to help pay for college.
Right. And remembering back to my experience, I did the same thing. I moved back the summer after my freshman year. But then the summer of my sophomore year, I stayed there on campus. Mm-hmm. But then my junior year, I moved back home for about 4 months. And then my mom was like, you got to go. she was like, you either pay rent or you got to go.
And like she kind of got used to not having Benji under the roof now.
Right,
like,
right, nope, for sure.
Yep, now you're a freeloader.
Right.
You were my child before, and now you're a freeloader.
All right, so hey, coming up next, I want to get to Jim's comment because he messaged us, and he has literally lived his life like a movie. I'll explain coming up here in just a sec. Good to see that. It's Ben and Kelly here on 99.7 DJX. So I was wondering, who was the oldest when they moved out of your parents' house? So my daughters, you know, moved into college and, you know, they're 18. So pretty normal, I would say. I would imagine they're not going to be gone forever, but there is a chance that they are no longer going to live under our roof, which, you know, as I said, makes me a little sad. Then we get this message from Jim. 36.
I'm sorry, back the truck up. 36 years old. You still living with his parents?
I was literally the guy you make fun of who lives in his parents' basement like Matthew McConaughey in Failure to Launch.
That's so great. That is so great.
He said, found a nice girl, finally got a place of my own with her, and no, I've never lived on my own.
Wow. That is shocking information, because I feel like you learn a lot about yourself and develop skills that maybe you didn't quite really fully develop when you were still living at home with mom and dad, because let's be honest, I mean, mom and dad kind of do most of the stuff around the house, right? Even if you're an adult still living under, I don't think you help out as much as if you would if you were running your own household.
Yeah, and how do you not get on each other's nerves?
Yeah.
It must be one of those situations where, like, he's got an exterior door to the basement.
More like an apartment.
Yeah, where he can be at, kind of separated from the upstairs portion of the house.
But then you're still having to yell, Mom! Meatloaf!
Wow, that's special. Thank you, Jim.
Wow, that is unique. You know what? I bet that says a lot about Jim, that he must be a good person, that his parents wanted him around that long. That's sweet. That warms my heart.
That's a good way to think of that.
See? That's it must have just been so pleasant to be around that his parents was like, no, Jim, you can't leave.
That's what I'm telling
my kids right now. They have to live in my basement.
Okay.
I'm not ready to let them go. So I'm just like, listen.
Well, you've got some time.
We'll find a nice workbook. You can homeschool college. just like the summer bridge workbooks, we'll get one for college. And then, you know, you just live in the basement and it's going to be fine. And we're going to all be a happy family forever and forever and forever.
Oh, funny. All right. Well, hey, thank you for that, Jim. That was good. Oh my gosh,
we just got another text.
I just saw that too.
My fiance's brother is 40 and still lives at home, but he doesn't do diddly squat to help them out.
I wonder if that's a situation where he never moved out or if he moved out and moved back in. Because we've had several that had messaged us and said, hey, after I got a divorce, I moved back in with my parents for a little bit while I kind of got myself back on my feet, right?
Sure. Oh, they're starting to flood in. Al Kim says, you know, I know a guy who still lives in his mom and dad's basement and he's 56?
Wow.
Now, wait, is that a situation where he's taking care of the parents?
Yeah, I'm talking about not.
That can happen too.
Yeah, I'm talking about not out of necessity.
Right.
Right. Just because you haven't moved out. Right, exactly. Wow. That's what I'm talking about.
She said, nope.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Kim's like, Jim, I'll see you're 36 and I'll raise you 20.
Wow.
Yeah, it was funny because when I did move back home after, like, it was during my junior year in college, it was maybe about 4 months, and my mom finally was like, okay, you're either going to have to start paying rent, or you're just going to need to leave.
You're going to have to do the tough love at some point.
Right.
Mike said my brother lived with my parents for 15 years, didn't help them at all. Very sad. There's a certain amount of learning that you can only do in the real world as an adult living on your own.
Yeah, for sure. Man. All right. Well, hey, love this conversation. And,
this is good stuff.
And it's 99.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So we got this message. Hey, Ben and Kelly, I need to know two things. If I was wrong here, and number two, what should I do now?
Okay.
So I went to visit my girlfriend at her parents' house last weekend and popped the question.
Congratulations.
I asked her dad beforehand when he was in town visiting us. Her parents were really excited. My girlfriend was super happy. Everything was perfect as far as I was concerned.
Okay.
Well, since then, I've been getting some crap from my mom and my two sisters because they know that I used the same engagement ring I gave my ex-fiance and they think that's tacky and wrong for me to reuse it.
Oh.
This is kind of regifting, isn't it? I see nothing wrong with reusing the engagement ring. I paid about $6,000 for it 4 years ago. The girl I was engaged to back then called off the wedding and gave me the ring back. So what the heck was I supposed to do with it? It's a perfectly good ring. And listen, at $6,000, it does sound like a really nice ring.
Yeah, right?
I'll just say that. It's a perfectly good ring, so I saved it, and I figured I'd eventually get engaged again. I just always figured the right girl wouldn't care about petty stuff like that. That she'd just be happy we're going to get married. And believe me, my new fiance loves that ring. She's been showing it off to everyone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So my mom and my sisters think it's disrespectful. They really like my new fiance, and they think she deserves her own ring. They want me to tell her and get her a new ring.
I never
told her about the ring and the history. I don't think I need to. In fact, I'm annoyed that this is even an issue because I don't feel like I did anything wrong. What would you do?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. You know what? First of all, I feel as though, and we should have reached out. I need to kind of see a picture of the ring for research purposes. Because maybe it is like really, really fabulous. And I feel like there could be a little bit of, it's so pretty, it doesn't matter about the backstory of it.
So you're a woman, Kelly, right?
I am. Yes, I am. Last time I checked.
You find out the engagement ring your boyfriend, now fiance, just proposed to you with was actually a ring that another woman has worn. In fact, not only just another woman, his former fiance wore.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be troubling. So here's the thing. My husband did actually propose before me to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Two other people. Anyway, so they had, a ring. He took that diamond, and that diamond had sentimental value. It was his mother's diamond. So that was a very, the diamond itself was very important. So he took that diamond and made it into a pendant for me.
Okay.
That I wore on our wedding day.
Okay.
And then I, you know, picked out, he picked out a whole new ring for me, which I think was good.
Right. Right. It doesn't, so it doesn't sound like that, that there's sentimental value to this ring for our listener. It doesn't.
No, it's just, you know, it was a really nice ring. He spent $6,000 on it, figured, you know what? Real good ring. Not going to let it go to waste. I'll just re-gift it to my next fiance.
Do jewelers, most jewelers have a take-back policy, right?
Or absolutely. Yeah, he could do the same thing. Like, if he really, like, found an amazing, like, stone, center stone, he could have it remounted in a completely different ring.
Oh, well.
And that could work.
Well, Felix.
You could trade that in.
Texted us and said, well, you can't return engagement rings.
No. But he could, like, have the stone remounted, and they can, like, a lot of times give you credit for the mounting that you're giving them.
I'm really kind of split on this, because I see what mom and daughters are talking about, where it's like, all right, yeah, you know, she deserves to have something fresh. We like her, you know, and maybe there's just bad juju on that other ring, you know, but at the same time, it's like, if she likes the ring, and that's a...
Why rock the boat?
Why rock the boat?
Yeah, and I don't know. So it doesn't sound like that she is aware. Who knows if she knows that he was engaged before, or would even think that maybe the ring was given to somebody else before her. Sarah the stabby one says, take it to the grave. Don't tell the new fiance.
Sarah the stabby one. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts on this, especially if you... maybe you've actually been in this situation where you received a ring that wasn't a new ring, or you gave a ring that had been reused, you know?
Yeah, I think what the mom and sister are afraid of is if she finds out down the line that the ring had another life before her, is she going to be super mad and offended, hurt at that point? You know, she's happy about it right now because she doesn't know.
In the euphoric moment, right, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. But if she knew the backstory, would she be angry?
All right, 502-571-9970. So our listener popped the question. She said yes, yay. But his mom and sisters are a little mad because he reused the engagement ring from his previous failed engagement.
And he's all like, it would cost $6,000. It's fabulous. And she loves it.
Yeah, I've been showing it to everyone. So what to do, what to do? Because he's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
And I think their biggest concern, his mom and sisters are thinking, that at some point down the line, if she finds out there is a backstory and that ring had another life, that she's going to be hurt and mad about it.
So I'll tell you, the Facebook comments are on fire. Samantha says, I'm not materialistic at all. That being said, I wouldn't want a ring that was picked out with another woman in mind. Others said, if the ring's the problem, the ring's not the problem, meaning it's the relationship that is the problem.
To his point, though, the ring isn't a problem right now. His fiance loves it. She's showing it off to everybody.
Okay, so
she doesn't know there is a backstory. That's the thing, is the moral question of do we clue in the fiance that there is a backstory to that ring?
Man,
and if so, how do we approach that?
Because we have everyone from never let her find out to just tell her. And you know what? Honestly, I'm kind of leaning that way. Just tell her. You don't want to start a marriage with a lie like that.
I think he goes to her and say, listen, my mom and my sisters love you dearly, and they pointed something out to me that I
forgot.
Really wasn't thinking about before. he can play dumb like he didn't know the significance of that.
This would be,
and that, you know, they're coming and saying, listen, you deserve your own ring, so let's go remount this diamond and pick something out together and start fresh.
Elizabeth!
So he should just remount it and
make
it special to her. Use the same diamonds, $6,000. I mean, that's stupid to pay that much in the first place, but I mean, my ring I picked out is $500. It's moissanite, and I didn't want a diamond because I'm a mom and I work in the restaurant industry. And I was like, if I lose it, I'm not going to feel like a jerk. So,
well, Elizabeth, that's you. But I'm just saying now,
like, I'm not poo-pooing a $6,000 ring. I'm not.
Right.
I'd be like, okay.
But I'm saying that if you've got that rock on your hand and then your fiance comes to you and says, can I have that back and just remount it? Like, what's your thought on that? Like, how are you feeling?
I would completely agree with it. I would be like, let's do that. I would prefer it would be more special. I understand what you are doing, but I'm glad you came to me and we're doing this together. And it's something that they're like doing together.
That's really good. I think that when they can like choose a new mounting together, that makes it all about them, which is great because I think a lot of times too, like I thought I knew what I wanted. Turns out I love like the new style of my ring way better when, you know, I had a hand in picking it out.
Right.
Well, Elizabeth, you sound like a very well-adjusted person, and any person would be happy and privileged to have you on their arm. So,
well, thanks.
Yeah, and I love your name too.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right, Elizabeth. Thank you.
You have a good one. Bye.
All right. See ya.
I love hearing awkward Ben's little awkward way to try to ease out of the conversation.
I wasn't going to tell her I married an Elizabeth, and I know.
Well, why not? Because when you didn't,
is that when it made it awkward?
Fact, it made it weirder. It kind of made it creepy.
Right. All right. Well, that's me. That's me.
Oh. All right. Well, hey,
and you're right. We go literally back and forth. It's like a tennis game. Reading through these comments, Larry's like, "Bro, this is a no-no. Sell the old ring and buy her ring."
Yeah.
But Carla immediately after is like, "Why ruin her joy? Telling her now could possibly upset her. No need to stir up trouble."
Yeah.
And then Christy's like, "Trade it in. Most jewelers will let you do that and give you credit towards another ring.
If she loves it, she loves it. Then that should be it." But then I wrestle with the whole right. All right. Well, hey, I know that we've gotten several people that are like, you need to follow up on this one. So we will. And hopefully he hears enough from either end of the spectrum that he can come up with a great solution to his issue.
Listen, we'll end it with this, and I think it's amazing. Jared said if he got the ring at Genesis, he could trade it in and get 110% of what he paid and one size bigger for his lady now, LOL. Yes, Jared, he pays attention. Good student. I said that in my commercials.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering where the connection was. I'd never heard you talk about that before. So.
Oh, come on.
All right. Well, hey, good luck. Keep us posted. And you know what? I think the most important thing is that you found someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with. So that's
that your
good.
Family loves.
Yep, that your family loves. Keep us posted. We'll follow up with you. I don't know. Can we follow
Whenever
up with you next
you decide
week?
To figure out something.
Yeah. Maybe we'll check back in with you next week and see if anything's happened.
All right. Tell us what you're going to do.
All right. All right. Setting the bar. Kelly, what is setting the bar all about?
Example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, if you're going to commit a felony, you should probably have bigger ambitions than Anthony's.
Can we not say that? Can we just say, hey, let's have some better goals other than this?
Okay, like steal more than just what Anthony did?
No, I don't know. Nope, I don't think we encourage people to steal more. How about we encourage people not to steal at all?
All right, well, setting the bar, if you can manage to make it through the day without getting busted for a felony for stealing Axe body spray, you're doing okay.
Oh, wow, that's a felony?
Here's why.
Okay.
Anthony arrested last month after stealing 5 cans of Axe body spray from a grocery store. It was about $32. He actually made it out without being caught. Easily identified, however, on the security footage because he was a former employee.
Oh, wow. It's an inside job.
Now, this might go down as some, like, little petty theft, right? Not a felony.
Yeah, typically, like, shoplifting, theft like that, it's not a felony. What makes this one a felony?
Anthony had 2 prior convictions on his record, which meant this gets boosted to a felony.
Gotcha. We're a repeat offender. Okay, which again takes me back to let's have better life goals than embarking on a life of crime.
Yes.
Maybe. Is that a better message?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I think so.
I feel like not let's commit bigger, better crimes. Let's do more of the let's not commit crimes and set better goals for our life. How about that?
Well, I'm just saying it'd stink, you know, getting busted for a felony for only taking $32 worth of Axe body spray.
It's almost like you're saying, you know, if you're going to get busted for speeding, you know, go more than like, you know, 2 miles over the speed limit, right? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
It was kind of like, well, that's
but I
a
get
waste.
It. I get
if you're going to get a speeding ticket.
Right.
Let's do better.
All right. So again, setting the bar. I feel like this is a little bit awkward. Kraft Heinz has voluntarily recalled more than 5,000 cases of Capri Sun.
Why and what flavors or date?
Wild cherry due to possible cleaning solution contamination.
Ew. Don't want to be drinking that. No, we do the fruit punch and the apple flavors. So are we good?
Well, I don't know, but I have video of you trying to complete a Guinness Book of World Record by sucking down a Capri Sun, so that could be awkward. Get set. Go. Okay, she's stabbing. Get in. All right, now suck. Suck, Kelly. Suck. Suck. Suck.
I forgot how magical
suck.
This audio was.
Suck. Come on.
That's fantastic.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Can you get it? Did you do it? All right. Wow.
That is one of those that is better watched as opposed to just listened to.
I disagree, Kelly. I think that was just fine listening to it.
Somebody just tuned in at that moment and heard you say stab and now suck and repeatedly telling me to suck. And of course, referring to a Capri Sun juice pouch. Okay.
All good. All good. Well, hey, I'm just saying, hey, be careful. I know your family is a Capri Sun family, so.
Oh, it's a staple in the household. Just we have boxes and boxes, but I think we're good. We don't have any wild cherry right now.
All right, just be careful. All right, if you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast at WDGX.com, including group therapy, which, man, that set off a storm of comments and calls where we had a listener who reused an engagement ring from a failed engagement in his past to propose to his current girlfriend, now fiance.
Yeah. And so many people, like, there were a lot of people on different sides of this, like, including Aaron, who commented, my fiance and I disagree about this.
Mm.
He says to tell your mom and sisters you bought the ring you want your future wife to wear. That's why your ex-fiance gave it back, because she wasn't the one.
Oh, that's actually not a bad way to look at that.
It's not a bad way to look at it, indeed. It's your ring to do with what you please. On the other hand, I feel realistically if she knew or finds out that that ring was on another woman's finger, she's going to feel like second choice, secondhand ring. You didn't personalize it to her taste.
Yeah.
And you picked it out with another woman in mind.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, but I absolutely see both sides of that. Like, that's a really good way to explain it. Like, this is meant for my future wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was not it.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see the fact that you want it personalized to you. You mm-hmm. want that picked out.
Yeah.
Knowing it's for you and only you. Becky said, consider this. What if you all run into your ex or one of her friends? Do not for one second think that they are not going to recognize that ring. Something will be said to someone and it will find its way back to your new fiance. I swear, this is the biggest small town I've ever seen. Tell her the whole story now. Let her decide what she wants to do. That's a really good point, too.
All right. Well, we're going to have to check back in with them next week and just give them a nudge and say, hey, listen, pooper, get off the pot. Let's figure this out and let us
know. What are you doing? Are you going to take the secret to your grave?
Yep.
And she's not going to know the history of the ring? Or are you going to tell her and maybe go get it remounted?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yep. All right. So we'll follow up next week here on 99.7 DJX. All right. What else, Kelly? Anything?
I'm done. I have no more words left. I've run out of words.
All right. Well, that's convenient. It's the end of the show. All right, have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.